wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. How did they get there? As an ambassador for Christ, I stand before this microphone to deliver his message to you. These solemn revelations which we now face, I was not taught them in school, but the Holy Spirit, whose servant I am, has shown them to me from his book, the Bible. Each nation, state, and city has its jail or prison. When a band of godly pilgrims settle a new land, they need no prison. But when wickedness develops, then a prison must be built to put behind its bars all who become a menace to decent society. They are unsafe to be at large. With crime constantly increasing, more prisons must be built. This is no discredit to the state, but to the citizens. And as the living God rules his universe in holiness and righteousness, he too has a prison, and its bars none can break. Its name is Hellfire. God did not always have one. There was a time when in God's universe there was no sin and no rebellion against God, and no prison was needed. But when Lucifer, that highest of heavenly beings, aspired to be like God, he originated a sin in God's universe, and God then made a prison, a hellfire. And we read, "Thou shalt be brought down to hell, and hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming." Our Lord Jesus tells us that while men shall be cast by God into hell, yet hellfire was made for the devil and his angels. My subject is, how do people go to hellfire? To visit the prison makes one wonder how all those people got in there. Some were arrested on the street. Others were surrounded by a squad of police and captured. And some just walked in there themselves, being arrested by their own tormenting conscience. We shall now see how people end in God's prison. One might say, no one would be fool enough to go to a place like hellfire, that's sure. Such might find himself just that foolish. Today there is so much comparing of relative values of money, materials, and peoples, but the big comparison is this, the relative value of the present with the future, the things of time and the realities of eternity. But since none of us have ever been in eternity, and those who have entered it do not return to tell us, who can tell us? Only one, our Lord Jesus Christ. He knows. For he is God, and he made all things. He made the trees and the animals and man too. And as certainly as he made the heavens and the earth, so he made hellfire. For God's word declares all things were made by him. He made that huge ball of fire in the heavens, the sun, to show man God's kindness and mercy. And he made hellfire to show God's hatred of sin and his righteous judgment on all sinners, whether angels or men or the devil himself. No one knows what the atom bomb can do like the man who made it. They know and they tremble. In trembling earnestness, our Lord Jesus speaks these words to you and to me. Hearken, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. What a real comparison of time and eternity. What a solemn warning. Our Lord Jesus thus showed us that any loss here, whether of a hand, a foot, or an eye, is as nothing when compared to eternal loss. He showed that no suffering now, though it be to gouge out your eye, tearing loose its nerves and muscles, is comparable to the suffering in hellfire. He showed us that as a man here would feel the pain of cutting off his foot, so in hellfire man has a super consciousness. Our Lord revealed hell as an unquenchable fire, and those in it as suffering everlasting punishment. But some ridicule and say, who would cut off his own foot or hand or pull out his eye? No fool would do that. Let me correct your error. It is only a fool that wouldn't do it. In our hospitals, they do just what Jesus taught. It is the very practice of surgery. That hand or foot is amputated to save the life, and one or even two of those cancerous eyes are cut out in a noble effort to keep the person alive. Men with sense and judgment cut it off. It is not folly to obey these words of Jesus, but folly to ignore them. If your foot is leading you to hell via the dance, you can cut it off today. The decision is with you. Tell God, who is the divine surgeon, oh God, I will be done with that dance. Cut it off. I want to be saved. And if your hand is leading you to hellfire via the gambling club, cut it off and tell God, I'm through with my gambling. I want to become a Christian. And if your eye is leading you to hell via the filthy movie, the wild novel, the television show, and the lustful looking after the opposite sex, then tell God, oh God, make me truly blind to all these. I want to have Christ and to live for him. This is not folly. This is true wisdom, right? Then will you now resign all, your hand, foot, and eye, with their deeds of sin that can only afford you temporary thrills, and tell God to cut them off one and all, and turn to Christ to live for eternity? But some religions cry, wait, in our religion you don't have to cut off anything. You can dance and drink and gamble and gratify your lusts and do whatever you like and still go to heaven. Neighbor, take warning. All such religions of sin were born in the kingdom of the devil and will bring you down to hellfire with the devil forever. God has his prison of hellfire. But how do people go there? First, God casts them into hellfire. There is no argument about this, nor an apology for it. It is solemn divine revelation. Our Lord Jesus repeated these words, to be cast into hell. And he also said, fear him who hath power to cast into hell. But why does God cast people into hell? It is because of their own wickedness. The decree of his holy and righteous throne is, the wicked shall be turned into hell. The path of sin is the way to hell. And all who persist in their sinful defiance of God will hear him say, depart from me, cursed into everlasting fire, and God will cast them into hell. Don't resent this. Be sensible. Should the judge be put off his judicial bench because he sentenced the murderer? No. You would think he should be kicked off if he failed to do so. The living God of heaven would be unworthy of being God, the judge of all men, if he failed to cast the ungodly into hell. He must. He has done so, and he will continue to do so. Second, our Lord Jesus said that people go into hell. In my audience, there are thousands of you who are going into hell. You would get mad if one cursed you and told you to go there, but yet that is what you yourself are doing of your own voluntary will, and by your own personal choice, you are going into hell. What ails you, neighbor? You know that road of sin you are on doesn't lead to heaven, but to hell. And yet you persist to go to hell fire. God made man so he can turn around if he will. I plead with you to right now stop going to hell. Turn around, repent, and seek the Lord Jesus and be saved from your sins, that you might also be saved from hell fire. Third, in the Bible we read, the wicked shall be turned into hell. What does that mean? This happened on a single-track railroad near me. A repair crew on their hand car saw a train approaching them. To stop, they threw their friction drive car into reverse. When it slowed down, they jumped. When the locomotive struck, the car started back. It gained a frightful speed as it raced up the track, across roads, and by stations. What could be done? They wired ahead, pulled a switch, and turned the flying hazard to smash itself on the siding while others were safe. And so God is turning the wicked into hell before our eyes. See that wicked youth? As he gets his liquor and fast car, and away he goes, not caring whom he kills, a family or a busload. But God pulls a switch and turns him into hell as his car is smashed at the big tree and his body lies beside it. See that ruthless monarch as he plans to massacre thousands more? But the living God in his heavenly switch tower pulled a switch and turned him into hell in God's mercy to others. Because God is still God, the sovereign of all his creation, he must and he does turn the wicked into hell. Let his fear be on all of us. Fourth, our Lord Jesus said of those who had heard his words and seen his works, that they were exalted to heaven, but would be brought down to hell. Brought down to hell. So many of you are like those of Capernaum. You are enlightened with heavenly light, a Bible in your house, a gospel ringing in your ears, and Christian relatives in your home, but you will not repent. You will be brought down, either in repentance now, or brought down to hell hereafter. The giant Goliath despised David in his little sling, but with it he was brought down at David's feet. One day the devil, the greatest power of created beings, will see just an ordinary angel approach him with a chain. The devil will disdain him, but that angel will bind Satan and cast him into the fire. Neighbor, don't be like Goliath and the devil. Don't go on in your pride, but humble yourself in true repentance. Get down on your knees now and tell God that you will repent and seek his mercy, or else God will drag you off your throne of pride and bring you down to hellfire forever. Oh, how shall we escape the damnation of hell? We all deserve it. You have sinned and I have sinned. We have been wicked. We have gone our own way. Our pride has been so God-provoking. How can we escape the damnation of hell? Let me tell you, listen. As I throw you the heavenly lifeline, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came. He bled and died. He arose and lives. He alone is able to save you. He has warned you, and now he wants to save you. Will you make a complete surrender to him to be your Lord and Savior? Just fall on your knees and tell him, Lord Jesus Christ, I do now repent of my many sins, and I will receive thee as my Lord and my Savior. Please save me from my sins and from that awful hellfire, Lord Jesus, and he will. How do people end in hellfire? I have shown you in four ways this eternal tragedy happens to them. First, God casts them into hell. Second, they go into hell. Third, they are turned into hell. And fourth, they are brought down to hell. As you face these solemn revelations, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, would put his hand on your shoulder, and looking into your face, he would say, I tell you, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. You will be brought down to the dust of repentance, or you will be brought down to the flames of hell. Neighbor, you know what you ought to do, and what you need to do, it is repent. I implore you to repent as a hell-deserving sinner and as a lost sinner. Lay hold of the Savior who came to seek and to save lost sinners, Jesus Christ. For him to be from this hour the one to whom you surrender as your Lord, the one whom you trust as your Savior, and the one whom you worship as your God, and the one who is your King. For you to be in his kingdom to obey him. Then this will be the greatest day in your life, when not only do you know that you will never be cast into hell, but you'll know that heaven is your home, and best of all, it is to know and to love the Lord Jesus Christ as your very own. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.
Take me as I am.